Welcome back to Hype Podcast, episode 82, Hypeable.com's flagship show where we bring you all of the latest news in fandom and general entertainment that you need to know about. My name is Pamela, and I will be hosting this week. Unfortunately, Selena's still off gallivanting in the wilderness, and Marima's doing things in the future over in Australia, but we still have a full panel for you guys today. We're all really excited to get to the news this week because there's so much to discuss. So I'm here with Kyle, as always, and we've got Kristen this week, who we love to have on whenever we have extra space, because Kristen, she's the best.
Yes?
I just want to say hey.
Oh, I thought I was. You said all I heard was Kristen, and I was like, that's her name.
I know.
I think there's like a second delay on my mute when I mute the microphone, so I said hey, and then, it must not have gotten that
and
part.
For a minute, I also thought that like maybe we, for some reason, it was Karen that was on. I was like, no, it was Kristen. I messaged Kristen.
You know, they live together, so now we've just merged them into one personality.
Exactly.
Yeah, it happens. It's okay.
You're K squared.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
It's perfect. So let's get started with how we hype. We're going to tell you about what we've been doing this week. Like I said, there's tons to discuss on the news side, but there's also been a lot of really exciting stuff going on just in general. And since Kristen is our guest today, we're going to start with her. So tell us what you've been doing to kind of keep the hype alive.
Well, this weekend I was home alone because Karen went to Disney without me, which, you know, was not fantastic being here all by myself, but I did get a chance to catch up on all of my comedies that I've missed, particularly Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Modern Family. I was like 3 or 4 episodes behind them both, so I got myself all caught up, and it was a lovely like 3 or 4 hours of really great half-hour comedies. So yeah, it was really good fun and a great way to spend an afternoon. So
I love that. I feel like every once in a while, I feel like I watch so much drama, especially around this time of year because of the award show season and stuff like that. So it's nice to like pepper in some comedy and just make things light. Kyle, what have you been doing? You've been watching TV too, I see.
I have, except not anything new because everything is off season at the moment, except for Supergirl. Like, that's the only show that I'm watching that's actually back from break so far, but that's not what I've been watching. I've actually been rewatching Downton Abbey because I recently got an Amazon Fire Stick for my TV. I don't know why, because I have an Apple TV, so now I have both. But I got it mostly because Apple TV doesn't have any of the Amazon Prime stuff on it. And so I realized that Downton Abbey, like the entire series, is available for free if you have Amazon Prime. And so I basically started that from season one, all the way from the beginning, and I've been kind of binge watching that while I work at Apple, and it's really great to start a series again. Like, I know you guys must have done it before, but like when you start a series after you've already finished it and like you go back to season one, it feels so different than the first time, and it's great. And so I'm just having a lot of fun. I'm already up to season 5. I need to watch Unreal, I know, but I can't find it online and I don't want to pay for it, so I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Understandable. We're gonna figure out how you can watch Unreal because it's so good.
It's only like $10 on iTunes for like all of season one, and I'm like debating on if I should buy it or not. Like, I don't know if it's good enough to buy, so I don't know.
I feel like you should watch like 2 episodes, and then if it's really good, you'll know if it's like good enough to spend money on. But I don't think you would regret it.
Okay.
So
all right, good to know.
Well, I've also been watching TV, but of a completely different nature. I tuned into the Golden Globes, which were yesterday, actually, because we're recording on Monday. And it was definitely an interesting experience. Ricky Gervais was hosting, and there were a lot of really random bits, like Jonah Hill coming out as the bear from The Revenant. It was great. Yeah. My favorite, though, was just Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey. It was like highlight of my life. Yes. Kristen, since you tuned in, what were some of your favorite moments? Like, were there any standout wins for you?
Well, first of all, Kate Winslet winning Best Supporting Actress in a Drama was like that, and Aaron Sorkin winning for screenplay were the highlights of my night because, yeah, I'm a Sorkin fangirl. So, yeah, I died a little bit. But as far as like presenters go, Amy and Jennifer were pretty hysterical, as well as Eva Longoria and America Ferrera. I lost it when they got up there and started. They were like, I am not Eva Mendes. Like, it was hilarious. I died.
Yeah, I love that.
Amazing.
Too. And then she was like, thanks, Penelope. And she was like, yeah, no problem, Chara. And I was like, this is great.
Yeah. Fabulous.
Yeah.
I loved the Golden Globes this year. It was great.
Did you watch too? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I did. Exciting. It was, I always have to watch those award shows, and it was perfect because my desk for Apple, like when I work, my TV's right next to it, and so I can watch TV while I work, so I watched the whole thing. I missed a couple / most of the speeches because the speeches are the most boring part for me, unless I actually care about the person. But I loved Leonardo's speech, and I loved the girl from My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I loved her speech because, like, she got up there, and I feel like she was us. Like, if any of us won, we'd be like, oh my god, guys. Like, it was just, yeah. It was perfect.
Rachel Bloom stole the show. She just started, like, spitting verses at the end there. She was like, 10, 9, I got this, let's go. So it was great. I loved that as well. So yeah, it was definitely a very interesting night. But if you guys have any thoughts on the Golden Globes, you can, of course, send them over to us. We forgot to give out our contact information before we started, but we'll run through that really quickly right now. For starters, you can always tweet us. We are at Hypeable Hype on Twitter and on Instagram if you're interested in following our photo escapades. You can also leave rather lengthy comments for us in the show notes on hypeable.com on the latest episode so that you know that we'll see it. And if you want, you can also drop us a line via email. We are at hype@hypeable.com. So tons of different ways you guys can get in contact with us if you want to talk more about the Golden Globes. The last thing I wanted to pimp out before we move on to the news is the film Spotlight. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's about the Boston Globe's investigative reporting team uncovering the scandal that's going on in the Catholic Church in Boston. And it is probably one of the best movies I have seen all year. I'm so sad that it didn't win anything, although it wasn't nominated for much. So I'm really hoping they do better at the Oscars. But it was just wonderful, and I highly recommend it if you're looking for a drama.
Yeah, it's on a very long list of movies I want to see before the Oscars. Like, it's insane how many I've missed this year, and I'm desperate to see Brooklyn and Room and Spotlight and The Big Short, and yeah, just it goes on and on.
Understandable. All right, well, just like the list of movies goes on and on, I feel like news is going to go on and on, so we're going to get started on that. First story, of course, how could we not talk about this right at the top of the show? David Bowie, the legendary musician, has died at 69. This news actually came down right after the Golden Globes finished wrapping, when everybody was kind of going off to the after parties and like that coverage was starting. And so it was just kind of one of those stories that really shocked the entire world because his music was so beloved and he touched so many people for daring to be different in an era where different wasn't really something that was going on. Of course, he's kind of like the grandfather of glam rock as well. And unfortunately, on Sunday, he lost his 18-month battle with cancer. But good news is that he did die peacefully after that battle, according to his representatives that released a statement. And it was also very bittersweet and eerie because he had just released an album on Friday. And I remember like listening to that. And I know a lot of people did when it came out, thinking like, this is like really dark and really ominous, but also Bowie was known for being dark and ominous and descriptive, so I didn't really think much of it. And it was just so sad to hear that he's no longer with us. I don't know if you guys are big fans of his work, but I think everybody has kind of heard at least one Bowie song because his music has, you know, been around for so long and it's just been sampled so many times. So did you guys have any thoughts about that you wanted to share?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was not a huge Bowie fan, but you have to have a certain level of respect for the guy, even if you're not like a mega fan, because I know people who, you know, David Bowie is their first love. And it's, you know, it's really sad when you lose someone, especially this big of a character, someone that's been so present in pop culture for so long. And like hearing that they wanted to get him into Guardians 2, like in the sequel, like they were all excited about getting him involved, and then to hear that he passed was really sad too. So I am really, you know, it is depressing and a little sad to know that he's gone, but
yeah. And I think a lot of people too know him from, I mean, I grew up with the film Labyrinth, which was, mm-hmm. you know, so yep. magical. I remember like my brother and I were obsessed with that Magic Dance song. And so even if you weren't a fan of like his whole catalog, a lot of you know, people our age probably grew up with that movie that was just so whimsical. And so, you know him as a Goblin King. Either way, it's really, really sad. And we're wishing his family all the best. Go on,
Kyle. I think it's really touching to see how everyone, it's kind of like, he's one of those artists that not a lot of people like talk about on the mainstream, but it's really touching to see how many people were actually affected by him. Now that this news has come out, because now everyone's like, oh my gosh, like, because it's always crazy how important, how people are reminded how important someone is after they've gone. So, like, my news feed is, like, filled with David Bowie fans, and I feel bad that I'm not, like, a huge Bowie fan, but I definitely have respect for the guy, like Kristen said, and it was crazy, because I read an article about how he knew that his last album was going to be his last album. Like, he knew it was going to be his last one, which is insane. But it's good to know. It's really glad. I'm really glad that he was able to go out knowing that, because instead of leaving his fans hanging, he knew this was going to be his last gift to his fans, which is nice, as opposed to someone dying midway through their career, you know?
That's so true. And as fans of many things ourselves, I'm sure that we can, and even us, the listeners that are joining us today, I'm sure we can all appreciate somebody that cares enough to do that or is able to do that. The fact that he was able to plan that is beautiful. And I'm sure that is really something that, you know, hardcore fans are finding solace in right now, that, you know, they're dealing with a loss like this, because, you know, he's an icon. And actually, when I was on Twitter, kind of like looking at this news, one of my favorite writers tweeted out, when you're a kid, you never realize that all the people you admire will someday go away, and then it's your turn, make the most of it. And that's very true, because, you know, he inspired many, and now it's up to them to take up the mantle and kind of keep his spirit alive, as I'm sure they will, as they have even when he was around. So, yeah. And I guess that's all we really have to say about that. So, again, our condolences go out to his family and for anybody who's grieving on you know, over his death. And we're going to move on with the rest of the show. And Kyle has got some TV news. As we kind of teased at the beginning of the show, this, because of the TCAs, this show is very heavy in TV news. So we're going to get into that, and hopefully you guys enjoy it.
Yeah, I know Game of Thrones fans are going to be really happy, because season 6 finally has a premiere date. It was a couple of days ago that they've just announced that it's going to premiere in April. April 24th at 9 p.m. like normal. And it's really funny, because someone I follow on Twitter was like, winter just keeps coming later and later, because like it started premiering I think first in like May, and then like later in May, and then April, and then later in April, and now it's like the latest in April that's ever like been released.
I feel like there's a Groundhog Day joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, right? But it's going to be really great, especially considering, like, Jon Snow is on the poster for season 6, and that's a debate that everyone is curious about. So, I don't know. I'm really excited. Kristen, do you watch? Because I know Pam watches, right? Yeah?
I do. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. I watch, too. Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's I was awesome. Supposed to share.
Kristen, is there anything that you're particularly excited to see this season, or you're hoping, you know, gets addressed this season? Because last season was, first of all, very hit and miss with a lot of people, but it also brought up a lot of questions. And now, of course, that George R. R. Martin has not fulfilled his deadline, we're kind of going in blind, even if you are somebody that has read the books.
Yeah, I had read the first 3 books. So last season was my first season watching, like, completely unspoiled. Like, I had no idea what was going to happen last season. So I'm looking forward to watching again in that respect. I need to read the 4th book, but I just, there was just no getting through it for me. No, I'm really excited to see more of Bran, because as it was last season, I believe, that was Bran free. Like, they couldn't advance his storyline any further before they did everybody else's, so it'll be nice to get back to him and Hodor and find out what's going on in the great in up north of the wall.
It's so weird that he's so grown up now. Like, it's it's kind of like Sorcerer's Stone versus Chamber of Secrets for me, because like 2 seasons ago he was still like a little boy, and then now, like, he's grown up and he's lanky and he's tall, and I think he has a deep voice now, I'm assuming. So it's just going to be very, very odd to see him this
season.
And
I'm pretty sure they're cutting his hair, thank God.
Oh my gosh. Yes, please.
Like, I'm pretty sure I saw a picture of him, like, in costume with shorter hair, and I was like, oh, thank God, because that hair was getting out of control.
Oh, gosh. Adjusting the important things here on this show. We've also got some kind of big Teen Wolf news, don't we?
Yes, we do. First off, Crystal Reed is returning to Teen Wolf. Not quite the way everybody would love her to come back, since that's basically impossible, although nothing's impossible on Teen Wolf. But she will be back for an episode, and it will be like it's going to be kind of a look back, it looks like, looking back into the history of the Argent family line. Let's see. She will be portraying the progenitor of the Argent family line, Marie-Jean Vallée. I'm sure that's French and I slaughtered it. But it's going to be really interesting. The Teen Wolf's never really done an episode like this. So the fact that they're going to go this far back into history and like and set an entire, I think in almost an entire episode, all about this girl is really, really cool. And I know fans are really excited to see her back. And in addition to that, we also got our first look at the character they're calling the Beast, who's going to be the big bad for season 5B, which started last week. And if you see the pictures, they're kind of terrifying. They're in the article on Hypeable. But in addition to that, we also found out a little bit about the Beast. Jeff Davis said that it's not just this crazy huge creature. Like, it has a person inside it. Like, there's a person that's being surrounded by all of this crazy beast scariness. And so figuring out who it is also going to be part of the season. So it's going to be a really, really good season, it sounds like.
Watch it be Coach.
He is coming back.
Hey.
If you saw the trailer, he's kind of at the end of the trailer, so he'll be around sometime during 5B. So who knows? He'll be Coach.
That's awesome. I see. I feel really bad because I haven't caught up with Teen Wolf at all. I'm still on 5A, like the beginning of 5A. This, like, I really, 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 really want to catch up because I really want to see that episode because I love Crystal Reed. So.
Yeah, there's been some good stuff, and the pilot or the premiere for 5B was actually really, really, really good. So I think you'll like it when you get around to catching up.
I will catch up as soon as I freaking can.
It happens. We all have those,
right? Oh, we literally. But speaking of returns, Outlander is returning this season with season 2, and it's finally been revealed when in 2016 the Outlander is going to return. Although we don't have a specific date, it is going to be returning April 2016, which is nice. It's nice to know a general month. So April is going to be a nice month for fans of Game of Thrones and Outlander. And they released, it's not like they already released a trailer, but the trailer or the video that premiered the month that it's going to air is actually like a behind the scenes look at season 2 and how different it is. And if you guys really liked like the scenery and the visuals of last season, be prepared for a completely different set of visuals, because season 2 is going to be taking place in France and Paris, and it's going to have brighter colors and less mud and more fancy dresses and halls as Claire and oh my gosh, I forgot his name.
Jamie?
How did I forget his name? He's so hot. I almost wanted to call him Sam, that's why. Claire and Jamie are going to try to infiltrate French army people?
Yeah, trying to stop the Jacobites.
Yeah. So, Claire wants to prevent a war that is going to happen, that she knows is going to happen, that's going to cause a major loss for Scotland. And every single time I see this trailer, Pam, I'm like, I already tweeted about it like 2 hours ago. I'm like, why is she trying to change history? It makes me so upset. But
she can't help herself.
I know.
That's the thing.
I'm just like, I'm really excited, but I really just want to slap her upside the head and tell her about the butterfly effect. Like, she was like 30 years away from the butterfly effect being like, you know, published, but whatever.
Yeah, it's never an outcome for it's never a good outcome when anybody tries to change time. But we do not condone spoilers here on Hype unless we're talking specials.
Yes, exactly.
So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm super stoked because you know more about it, I think, than I do.
I do, but here's, okay, the confession. I only made it halfway through Dragonfly and Amber, so I'm actually going to start reading that, so I'll be all caught up with my Outlander knowledge before the season starts.
See, I can't catch up, because I do the Hang Outlander podcast with That's Normal, and I'm their resident newbie that knows nothing, and literally all of them have read the books, and so they're like, don't read the books, because then you won't be a newbie anymore. I'm like, okay. And so I'm just very confused. But yes, I'm super, super stoked. It's going to be great.
And then we also have some news over on the CW front, don't we?
Yes, we do. It was kind of a huge weekend for the CW. I believe all of this news came out on Sunday because, you know, of course, I had planned to do things on Sunday and ended up yoked to my computer. The biggest news to come out of the CW, I think, was that The Vampire Diaries and The Originals will be finally doing a legitimate crossover episode. In the past, they've had, you know, one character kind of step into the other world, or an actor. Like, I know Nina Dobrev showed up on Originals to play Tatya for an episode, but we haven't had a proper crossover in a long time. Ever, really. And this season, later on, in their respective seasons, we will be getting two episodes. I believe it's episode 14 of The Vampire Diaries, and whatever the corresponding number will be for the Originals should be 14, but you never know with airing how things will end up working out. But Stefan will be making a trip to New Orleans. They said that he is going to need a magic-free respite, and anyone who watches the Originals knows a bar called the St. James Infirmary that is completely magic free, that no, you know, witches can enter, but they can't do any magic on the premises. It came in really handy last year when Dahlia was around, so I think that's why they created the bar. But he'll be popping into New Orleans, and of course, you know, Klaus will know, because nothing happens in New Orleans without Klaus knowing. And he'll kind of help out. And Julie Plec calls it the reunion of the Bourbon Buddies, which I kind of love.
Yes.
And it's going to be good. I'm excited.
It's going to be so awesome. I really can't wait, because it's about time that someone from Mystic Falls goes over to New Orleans, given the amount of insane things that are happening in that city that affect both worlds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I'm honestly really glad that they're bringing someone from Vampire Diaries to New Orleans, because what's going on in New Orleans right now is kind of insane. Like, I can't imagine Klaus or Elijah, like, finding time to buzz over to Mystic Falls. Like,
yeah,
they've got enough on their hands.
Yeah.
So, and as for the obvious question, if Stefan leaving, everyone wants to know what Caroline's gonna do. Is she coming along? You know, we all know that I think Caroline's still pregnant, right?
Yes.
Those kids didn't pop out.
No, they have not popped out yet.
There's a lot of pregnancies in some of the shows I'm watching right now. So I'm like, wait a minute, which one is still pregnant? Okay, yeah. So, you know, people have been wondering whether she'll be stepping into New Orleans, or, you know, she coming along with Stefan. And Julie Plec wanted to make sure to address it. And she said all she can say is that Caroline has an involvement in the way that we've decided to dramatize the crossover. And I'm sure there are spoilers aplenty if people want to read further. So she didn't really address it, but they're not going to just leave Caroline hanging. Like, good. You will know her role in what's going on and why Stefan's leaving. So it's gonna be some crazy,
yeah,
crazy.
It's gonna be insane.
Yeah.
Although I'm more excited about this next story. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm sure you are. My baby, The Originals, because let's face it, I really love that show. We also found out, thank you, CW, that Cole Michelson will be returning to The Originals in season 3. Sigh. We're so glad to have him back, because let's face it, there's not enough Michelsons on that show, especially with Rebecca popping in and out every three episodes now, it seems. Yeah, it'll be nice to have Cole back. We don't know exactly who's going to be playing him or anything really about like what he's going to do once he's back. We do know that Davina will be the one bringing him back, and that she will have – I want to get the wording right. She will have a lengthy and dangerous journey to get him back, but things are looking good. Michael Narducci, one of the executive producers, said, in order to reach out to Cole, she'll have to embark on a dangerous journey into New Orleans' supernatural underworld. This will be the first chapter in a storyline that will have long-lasting effects on the entire Michelson clan. So, as to whether or not – I have no idea if this is going to have any effect on the prophecy either.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
For anyone who watches that show.
I think it will have an effect on the prophecy. Like, it has to, but I don't know.
Because the winter finale showed Elijah kind of taking one of the barbs of the prophecy away. Like, they kind of made them come true. I'm not going to spoil exactly which ones, so you can still watch the episodes.
See, I don't know if that counts, but I don't know. We won't spoil it.
But now that there will possibly be a fourth Michelson, it definitely puts a wrinkle into the prophecy. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I don't know who's coming back. Like, we don't know if like Daniel Sharman will be back, or maybe Nathaniel Bozalek.
Nathaniel Bozalek has a show.
Does he?
Yeah, he's on. I can't remember what the name of the show is for the life of me, but it's he's like shirtless in it, like in every episode.
That's all better, right?
I like how that is your defining like factor of the show.
Well, because literally he's okay. I just looked it up, and he's shirtless in the trailer. He's shirtless in the poster. I'm like, oh my goodness. So it's called Significant Mother. And it's about like this guy who falls in love with his best friend's mom or something. I don't even like necessarily understand it. But the point is, he has a show, so I'm sure he's going to be busy as heck doing that, which means it's more likely than Daniel Sharman is going to do it. But I don't know how busy he is, given his schedule.
Well, and considering how he kind of went out, it'll be interesting to be able, you know, to get that body back.
I know.
Have no idea. It's probably more plausible for them to have a whole new actor play him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Really like Sharman back.
They have to, but the actor needs to be just as hot as the both of them. Because I mean, let's face it, you have some big shoes to fill with that role. But bravo, I want to say, like just bravo to the originals for coming up with a way to keep the originals in the plot line, but not necessarily need the actors, because the actors' schedules can get so busy, and it's kind of insane. But, like, they've managed to come up with a really creative way to work around that with, like, new bodies and all that stuff. And, like, I feel like with a lot of other shows, it might not necessarily work out as well. But with the originals, it just works. You see someone, and they claim that they're Rebecca Michelson, and you're like, okay, that's all right. You're Rebecca. Got it. You know, it's great.
Yeah, it can make it kind of difficult to keep up if you miss a couple episodes, but it definitely is nice. You know, when you've got casts that have other things going on and stuff they want to do, it's nice to be able to move people in and out. So definitely.
And on the next bit of news, still TV-related people, because we have a lot of TV news, Daredevil Season 2 has announced a release date and revealed a brand new trailer, which is crazy to think that Daredevil Season 1 just came out, like, not that long ago. It was, like, August or something of last year, which is insane. And so, Season 2, the trailer and the poster and everything have really, really high religious undertones. I don't even know if you can call them undertones, because it's just so clear. But it's going to be very interesting, because the main character really struggles with trying to be good and going to church and like confessing all of his sins as he's like beating up all all these people. And it's going to be really great to see Elektra join in, because Elektra is going to be there, and so is, what's his name? The Punisher, I believe his name is.
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
Right.
Yeah. So it's gonna be a great season. We have two new comic book characters and a brand new costume that we finally get to see him use, like, for most of the season instead of just like one or two episodes. I'm stoked. It's gonna be great. Too bad no one on here is like a mega Marvel fan. Otherwise they'd be able to explain more than I can.
Yeah, definitely. But you know what? At coming in as an outsider, because I don't read a lot of comics, I think I've talked about this before. I think the majority of my comic book knowledge just stems from very spot on cartoons that, you know, I used to watch when I was a kid. But Daredevil was really, really good. And I think a lot of people really enjoyed it. So I think we won't be the only ones that are excited for season two, for sure. And we also have some more TV news, surprise, surprise. But you know what, you guys, we're going to get a little bit of movie news in there too. So just hold on tight for a couple more stories and we'll talk to you about what's going on the other end of the spectrum. But for right now, we have some Walking Dead for news for you guys. Fear the Walking Dead also announced their season two premiere date. And that's actually coming a lot sooner than anybody thought, because, you know, it was a brand new show in the fall. And so usually it's about a year. You get like a really short season and you have to wait a whole year for a season two. Not the case with Fear the Walking Dead. We're actually going to get season two on Sunday, April 10th, which also unfortunately means that The Walking Dead is probably going to be done by then as far as this season is concerned. But that's really exciting news if you're really into that, which kind of takes place right as the zombie apocalypse is kind of cresting over Los Angeles. So we're going to get to see how those characters are still dealing with that. And then on The Walking Dead side, if you are a fan of the comic books, you know that Negan is a really, really big deal. And he's set to come in when the mid-season finale, or like when like season six, like the mid part of season six is finally back from its break. That's coming up in February, actually, right around Valentine's Day. They'll return with season 6B and Negan will be there. And so if you kind of know what's going on, then you know what Greg Nicotero is already teasing, which is that they are climbing towards a major death, which is really, really scary and like super nerve wracking. If you're a huge fan of this show, I know I'm just kind of waiting with bated breath for this to happen. Even though I haven't read the comics, I just kind of like have been unfortunately spoiled. I don't know if you guys, do either of you guys watch The Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead?
I do not.
And I am so not happy.
I don't think anyone's happy. This is a very beloved character.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I don't read the comics, but I used to work with a girl who is a very, very big fan of the comics. And over the years of watching the first couple of seasons, she did warn me about Negan, and she said, you know, when he arrives, beware, because there are certain characters that will have some very rough times when he arrives. And I'm like, oh god, like, no. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing Negan, because I think it's going to be a great character for the show, but I'm also not at all looking forward to Negan's presence.
And we're already starting to see kind of like the repercussions of his presence with Daryl and the biker gang that left, you know, that storyline left off at the end of the last mid-season finale. So it's going to be one hell of a ride. At least I know Kristen's excited with me, because usually it's just me talking about Walking Dead by myself on here.
And, gotta love Walking Dead.
I know. This is great. I have a new Walking Dead buddy. But yeah, that's it for the Walking Dead side of this show. But actually, Kristen has some more TV news for us.
Yes, I do. The 100 season 3 is finally, we're like 10 days away now, I think, and it's creeping ever closer. We're almost there. But we did get a clip this week, in addition to a trailer, which the post will be going up tomorrow, that they got to see at the TCAs. But we got a clip that includes a little musical interlude from Shawn Mendes. So if you're a fan of his, he will be appearing on the show. I believe it's in the premiere, but if it's not, it's very early on in the run of season 3. And the clip, the biggest thing about this clip is that it shows Raven and Abby hanging out in Mount Weather, which, if you watch the show, you know what happened at the end of season 2. It was kind of a giant question mark as to what was going to happen with Mount Weather in season 3. So we're kind of starting to get a few little clues as to what's going on. And if you watch the show, I'm sure you've seen the clip because it doesn't give a whole lot away, but we now have more and more questions for January 21st.
I watched the show, but I haven't seen the clip. But now you saying this, I'm like, wait, what? Like,
yeah,
what?
It's not a telling clip. Like, nothing huge happens in it, but it does raise some questions. It makes you think about what must be going on for them.
Wait,
to
is
want
Shawn
to
Mendes going
to
be in the show?
He's in the episode. Yeah. The clip shows him kind of standing with Raven at a table, and they're like sorting through jewelry and things that are in Mount Weather. And he tries to steal something, and she kind of scolds him for it and asks him, like, rather than like getting him, you know, officially punished, she says, you know, play me a song. So he goes over to the piano, which we know is there's a piano in Mount Weather, and he just starts playing, and it plays throughout the rest of the scene, in the background.
Got it.
So it's kind of cool. Like, it's a neat way to weave music into this world where they don't really have electricity to just play music all the time, and usually they just use a soundtrack, but it's kind of nice to see it weaved into the actual world. So it's a nice little treat.
I'm stoked.
Yeah. I'm so geeked. I've been rewatching like crazy, so I'm just ready for new episodes of The 100.
So finally, we've got some not music news. We do have some of that, but not right now. We have some movie news that I teased earlier for you guys. It wouldn't be a hype show as of late if we didn't talk about Star Wars. And there is a bit of Star Wars news that has been sweeping the fandom. According to Variety, they have uncovered Lucasfilm and Disney's shortlist for young Han Solo. And the report also says that we might even see who is going to play young Han Solo at the tail end of the Star Wars spinoff Rogue One, which has about a month left of filming and is set to come out, I believe, this coming year. So according to this news source, Variety is saying that it's down to Miles Teller, who, of course, we know from the Divergent series and The Spectacular Now, and Ansel Elgort from The Fault in Our Stars, Dave Franco, who's just, like, completely out of nowhere.
Wild card.
Exactly. Zach Rayner from Transformers, Scott Eastwood from The Last Ride, Logan Lerman from Percy Jackson, and, of course, Perks of Being a Wallflower, Emery Cohen from The Places Beyond the Pines and Brooklyn, and Blake Jenner from Glee, who I believe also won the Glee Project. So
it's this list.
It's a very higgledy-piggledy list.
What the hell?
Yeah. I know. But Variety is actually a pretty credible source. So I'm gonna say that there is a kernel of truth to this, at least.
Oh, my gosh.
But also, as I was researching this story, somebody brought up a really good point, which is that the short list with big blockbuster movies such as these, where there's a lot of secrecy involved, doesn't necessarily mean that any of these people are even like close to being in the running. Like, for example, the person that I saw that brought this up pointed out that when they were talking about the front runners for Batman versus Superman, they like listed off three people like for the role, which included Ryan Gosling, and like none of those three people were Ben Affleck. So it is possible that this list is like
good.
Yeah,
like,
nothing at all.
There's some people who auditioned.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Exactly. But out of everybody here, if we're talking just like who I could feel like would actually like look-wise be okay for this, I would probably have to go with Scott Eastwood because he's kind of got that rugged thing going.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I feel like whoever plays young Han Solo still needs to be like good-looking but also rough around the edges because he's a smuggler, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like looking at this list and I'm like, no, 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 hell no, yes, no, no. Like, that's like...
I do feel like Ansel Elgort could probably pull it off. Like, he's got enough of the charm and he can kind of turn that off and on like Han does, but he's not rugged enough. For me,
no,
like
exactly.
He probably has the talent to handle it, he just doesn't quite have the look for me.
Yeah, exactly. And on the comments of that episode, someone says Natalia H had said, how about the guy who looks like a young Harrison Ford in Age of Adeline? And I don't know if you guys saw Age of Adeline, but I did, and I completely agree. That guy was a dead ringer for Harrison Ford, for young Harrison Ford. It was absolutely insane. He looked like him, he sounded like him, he was a great actor. I don't even know what his name is, but I mean, if you want anyone that gets a good young Harrison Ford look, get that guy. Out of all these actors, they don't know. But yeah. it's going to be interesting for sure. Oh, is that my, oh, it's my turn now. Okay.
It's you. Moving on.
Well, speaking of actors who may or may not look like the characters that they're going to portray, news came that Disney is, of course, working on a live-action Cruella movie, much to the kin of, like, the backstory, like, Maleficent and, like, Cinderella and stuff. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that story plays out. But, like, story aside, they revealed, I don't know who the source was, The Hollywood Reporter revealed that Emma Stone is in talks to play Cruella de Vil. And I actually think that's a fantastic idea. I think I love Emma Stone. I was just watching Easy A like 2 hours ago. But I definitely think she has what it takes to play a young Cruella. Like, I can absolutely see it. And I'm really stoked. And I don't know, a lot of my, one of my friends really hates Emma Stone. Like, she's like on the polar opposite of me. And she's like, no, why? It makes no sense. I'm like, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I think Cruella has to be one of my least favorite Disney villains. Like, she just, I don't know. She doesn't really have reasoning for being quite as awful as she is. So I probably wouldn't be at all interested in the movie if it wasn't for Emma Stone. Like, seeing Emma Stone play Cruella de Vil is totally, like, I'll go see that movie. So I don't know. I would say Emma definitely can handle it. So that would be... I'm definitely interested.
You, Pam, are you like...
I think like Kristen, yeah, I think just like Kristen, I never really, if I was going to pick a Disney villain, like, well, first of all, Disney already like checked off my number one with Maleficent because I'm a huge Sleeping Beauty fan. But if I was going to pick another villain to kind of get the same treatment, I don't think my first choice would be Cruella. So I am cautiously intrigued, but also not really like it's not really on like the top of my list right now of things that I would be keeping tabs on because it's just kind of whatever. And they've already done kind of like a live action 101 Dalmatians, so
yeah. But it's going to be really interesting to see how they try to make her sympathetic or how do they try to get you to like go be on her side.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that on that front, it is great that they're kind of working with a blank slate because we don't know very much about Cruella other than the fact that she is obsessed with dogs and like skinning them for their fur. but yeah,
it's so terrible. I have like a terrible reasoning for being excited because I work at Disneyland and like I just work with Cruella de Vil a lot, like the character, and so like I love them.
She's fabulous around Halloween.
I love them all. They're so great, and so like I have like a soft spot in my heart, but I guess not for the actual character, but like the Disneyland version of her, because all of our Disneyland villains have to be like cordial. Because they can't really be, like, you know, their actual villain selves. Otherwise, we'd scare people out of the park forever. But I'm super stoked. And I really like Jerusha's comment on the story. And they said, are they going to try to make her sympathetic? Did Dalmatians kill her family? And I'm like, oh. It's so... Like, I don't know. I'm stoked. I'm really excited. I know I've edited every single story today with, like, I'm stoked about it. But it's true.
Hey, you can be excited about everything you picked. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, good.
So we have one last piece of news for you guys this week. It's a little bit older since, you know, like every once in a while we miss a really big news story. But we already reported that Coldplay is going to be performing at the Super Bowl halftime show this year. And this was not surprising to me, but the internet blew up over this. Beyonce is going to be joining them. And so that's really excited if you're a fan of Queen Bee. Are you guys like, do you guys get into the Super Bowl halftime show? I don't watch football, but I'll watch for halftime.
Yeah, same. I'll do the halftime show, but I won't do the actual like football show because I know nothing about football. The commercials and the halftime show for Super Bowl is like my favorite part. So
yeah, but Kristen watches football.
Oh yeah, I forgot we actually have a sports fan. Yay!
Yeah, I love football. And it's kind of an interesting matchup. I don't know. She's definitely gonna liven it up because Coldplay's music isn't necessarily always hopping. So it's definitely nice to work someone in whose music is like really peppy and happy. And, you know, you need that in a halftime show. In other words, people lose interest. So, yeah, no, I'm definitely on board for this.
Yeah. I will say, though, that if you haven't listened to Coldplay's latest album, it's a lot different from what they've been putting out in the past. Like, if you're still on, like, Coldplay circa Yellow, their sound has completely changed from, you know, the last couple of years. And I think, like, the singles that are on the radio right now speak for themselves. But remember, you're talking about the band that's also already collaborated with Rihanna. And if you saw Beyoncé's Life is But a Dream documentary on HBO, you'll know that Beyoncé and Jay-Z are big fans of Coldplay. Like, they've are friends with Chris Martin and stuff like that. So I think this is why, for me, I was like, no, you guys, like, totally, they could totally bring Beyoncé out there. I think I might have even said that on an earlier episode, but it'll be definitely interesting to see them actually collab for something that's, like, you know, for all intents and purposes, a studio track, mashup thing, what have you. And I'm excited as well. So should be fun.
Speaking of Beyonce, before, like, we, like, finish with the news, I just want to tell everyone that you have to go watch the lip sync battle between
with Channing Tatum
and Jenna Tatum, because glorious is the one word that describes it. It's,
you know, everybody's talking about Channing, but Jenna stole that.
Jenna was so much better. So much better.
So good. That whole Magic Mike segment just solidified her badass.
I'm sexually confused. That's great. So if you guys haven't watched that, just, like, do a quick YouTube search for Channing Tatum Lip Sync Battle 2016, and you're going to love it.
Awesome. So that is it for news this week. But of course, we'll have more news for you guys next week. We're going to move on to TV show of the week. And we already kind of talked a little bit about some of the TV we were watching in the How We Hype segment. But we got some more stuff that we're really into. For starters, I finally caught up on Quantico. And that show is so freaking good. Oh my gosh. Good. Kristen, I'm so happy that you watch, because usually it's just me and Merima going, Quantico, Quantico.
Karen and I are obsessed.
I love it.
One of our favorites. Yeah.
It's getting so good. And, like, even though right now they like, in the mid-season finale, also there's no more episodes until March, by the way, which is a travesty. But in the mid-season finale, you've got a new supposed culprit. But as Kristen knows, they change it up every time. Like, they're always one step ahead of the audience. And even if you think you know who the perpetrator is, it's probably not the person you're thinking it is. So I'm just so excited for it to come back in March.
Yeah, they always find a way to weasel out of whatever you think you know. And it's like, duh. But it's so, so good. So, yeah, it'll be a long wait, but we'll make it.
Exactly. And Selena will be happy about this, because you're talking about one of her favorite shows this week.
Yes, I am. I am so, so ready for more of the 100 in my time by myself this past week. I rewatched the entire 2 seasons of the show. And I'm currently working on at least 2 articles to go up in the next, like, 10 days, because I'm obsessed with all things the 100. It's seriously good, guys. And you can watch all of the first 2 seasons, which is all that we have so far, on Netflix. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. I know when they were at the TCAs, somebody interviewed Jason Rothenberg, and he said, I always tell people that, you know, that ask me on Twitter or whatever, like, is there a point in the first season where people should get past before they decide whether they want to keep watching or give up on it? And he says, get past episode 4. If you can get past episode 4 and you still don't like it, then, you know, it may just not be your cup of tea. But I promise you, if you get to episode 4, you're not going to want to turn off the TV. Like, you'll be stuck in front of it. But yeah, I'm obsessed with all things the 100. It's crazy.
Cool. Kyle, have you been watching anything else that you wanted to talk about?
I haven't. I really, really want to start Unreal.
Cool. We're going to make that happen. I don't know how yet, but we're going to do it.
I really, really do. That and my 1 of 11 books a year.
There you go. That's not too bad. You could make it.
All right.
We're going to wrap things up, as always, with listener feedback. We've got loads of it this week, so we're going to try and get through it as best we can. We have an email from Anne. And Kyle, do you want to take that one? It's actually for you, kind of.
Okay, absolutely. So Anne says, hey guys, as if you need another TV show to watch, I'm looking at you, Kyle, and your 25 shows a week. Hey, don't judge. I have to recommend the DirecTV original series Kingdom. It's a drama centered around an MMA gym in Venice Beach. It's the story of an ex-fighter slash now coach and his family and the fighters at Navy Saint Gym. It's at the midway point of the season of season two, and I cannot wait for it to come back this summer. The cast is amazing and pretty much unknowns, with Nick Jonas being the only one who had heard of. What? Nick Jonas is in this? What? You should have led with that, Anne.
Yes.
It's gritty, edgy, and the characters are so complex in a good way, even if you aren't into fighting the aspect. The stories and character dynamics pull you in and are so, so good. It has a bit of everything. Strange relationship between father and son, badass girls who literally kick butt, and the storyline with the boys and their real mom. It has a bit of everything. Strange relationship between a father and his sons, badass girls who literally kick butt and take names, and the guys are all easy on the eyes. Well, you should have led with that as well. Baby mama drama, a heartbreaking storyline with boys and their real mom. There's an LGBT twist, and with Nick's character... Okay, you should have started with that. and it's a bit of a...
So pretty much she got you.
Yeah. It's a bit of a niche show, and will be more difficult to find if you don't have DirecTV, but pretty much worth the binge. Thanks for an awesome podcast, and keep up the great work. Oh my gosh, Anne, I need this in my life. Like,
I remember when first heard about this, like, right before it started, and I wanted to watch it, but I don't have DirecTV, so, you know, once, I'm sure there will be a way to watch it down the road here, and as soon as there is, I'm going to catch up, because it looks great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your email, Anne. And of course, we want to remind you that if you want to drop us an email, you can do so by emailing us at hype@hypeable.com. We're going to move on to a couple of Twitter comments this week. The first one comes from Stephanie Merrill, who says, no, oh my God, Sense8 is the greatest. Just get to the episode where they all sing Four Non-Blondes, What's Up? Take the red pill. And then Steffi also said, she also wrote in with her New Year's resolution, because we were talking about our fandom resolutions last week. And she says, also, I wish I could read more books this year, but my schedule is jam-packed with Gilmore Girls season 5, and I'm still shipping every ship. And then speaking of fandom resolutions, Paley Lewis also sent us a picture of her insane list of things that she wants to get to through as part of her resolution. And I'm just going to retweet this out of the Hypeable Hype Instagram so you guys can take a look at this, because it is super daunting. And if you can get through this, props to you, because it's insane. So we also asked on Twitter, how did you hype this week? Because we love to hear what you guys have been doing as well. So we're going to read a couple of those. Kristen, do you want to take the first two?
Sure. The first one is from the Lady Ash, and she says, I hyped by watching Die Hard and The Fifth Element for the first time. Both fantastic. Why did I wait so long? Yeah, I know my roommate would definitely agree with you on The Fifth Element, which it's a really good movie.
Fifth Element is so good.
Die Hard's a Christmas classic, so, you know.
I don't understand that, but I guess that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah. And the second one comes from OM Cantrell 15, who says, binge watched The 100 and watching the Golden Globes. Also recorded the Shannara Chronicles, but haven't gotten a chance to watch. I definitely approve on The 100, and the Golden Globes were awesome. And I've seen the Shannara Chronicles pilot, and it was so much fun. So
yeah, I was going to ask you, did you like it? Like, now that it's finally out, I can finally ask if other people have liked it.
Yeah, they put the first 4 episodes online, and I've seen the first 4 episodes, and I'm so clamoring for more. Like, I cannot wait to get to the rest of the series, because it's so, so, so good.
Yes. Okay, good. I'm like, so happy that someone else has caught on to my obsession.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Kyle, do you want to take the last 2 tweets we have today?
Yeah, absolutely. _ Unforgiven says, there's much Mark Hamill and much Oscar Isaac and much happiness, and I approve of all 3 of those things, absolutely. And then Samantha Lagan.
I think, it's, I think it's Samantha Y. Lagan.
Oh, okay. Samantha Y. Lagan. Thank you. Says, LOL, my Sunday consists of binge-watching Unreal. I'm hooked. Thanks for making me feel bad that I haven't binge-watched yet. Tweet me how you're watching this. All right, Samantha? Please. That'd be great.
Maybe direct message that. So
yeah, direct message me. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for writing into us this week, listeners. And that's our show, actually, this week. We covered a lot, I think, and it was really, really fun. Did you guys have fun?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we always have fun with you, Kristen. So thank you so much for being on this week. We really appreciate you filling the void. So we'll see you guys next week. Before we let you guys go, we do want to remind you about all of our contact information in case you want to write into us and maybe get your comment featured on the show as well. For starters, if you have rather lengthy comments, you can leave them in the show notes on the latest episode on Hypeable.com. You can also tweet us at Hypeable Hype on Twitter. We are also at Hypeable Hype on Instagram, just to make things easy for you guys. And we try and post there as often as we remember. And then, of course, if you have even longer comments that you want to send directly to us, you can always drop us a line via email. Our email address is hype@hypepodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. My name is Pamela.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Kristen.
And we'll see you guys next week for episode 83. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.